Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Strange Matters podcast. Here at Strange Matters, we discuss everything that is just outside the norm, ranging from the bizarre and unexplained to the supernatural and paranormal and everything in between. I am your host, Sean, joined by my fellow co-host, Eric.
Greetings, everybody.
So in this episode, we are going to be discussing a pretty interesting topic, and that is how a person can just disappear completely or just fall off the grid.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept to think about.
Yeah, this is an idea that was sent in to us from Julian, who also happens to be one of our Patreon supporters of the show, so thanks, Julian, for all the help. And Julian brought up a interesting topic that we see in a lot of disappearance cases, including a few that we have covered during the course of Strange Matters. And this particular aspect Julian points out is that in a lot of these mysteries about someone who just seemingly just drops off the face of the earth completely, there's usually at least one theory that they did it themselves. So basically you have one idea that there was no foul play, they weren't abducted or anything, but they just simply took it upon themselves to orchestrate their own disappearance.
Yeah, and I think this is always sort of a possibility, and it's kind of a theme that we talk about in a lot of our episodes, but it seems like the more unlikely, based on the story, the more unlikely it is that they didn't orchestrate their own disappearance. When you look back, you just think, oh, well, they could have planned it to look that way. They could have planned it to make it seem like it's impossible for them to orchestrate their own disappearance. So it's like, you know, no matter how implausible it seems, that kind of increases the plausibility.
Exactly. We'll kind of get into more specific examples later on. But yeah, if you're planning this for like a year or something, and you know exactly what's going to happen, and yeah, I mean, like Eric just said, you can plan it so the last things people will think is, oh, this person, they just ran off. And as we mentioned, this theory comes out a lot, but I usually don't buy into it most of the time. Like we said, I know a few of the mysteries and disappearances cases we've covered before, we've usually always bring this up, but I don't think we ever really put too much stock into it. But perhaps there are some times where this really is the answer. Maybe the person who disappeared isn't a victim, but just someone who's tired of their life and wants to start over completely fresh as a new person.
Or perhaps someone who's trying to hide from another individual or a gang or the law. You know, like one time I accidentally threw all my wife's like delicate clothes in the dryer or whatever, destroyed a whole load of laundry. And, you know, basically when she found out, I was seriously considering just dropping off the face of the earth for good.
Understandably. Is that why you have your bug out bag?
That's exactly what it is.
Just ready to go at a moment's notice.
Yep.
So the question and discussion points for this episode is just how exactly does a modern person make it so that they can disappear completely without leaving a trace behind them?
And it's getting more and more difficult these days to pull off a stunt like this because the government is kind of like getting their fingers into everybody's lives. You've got credit cards, you know, you've got all sorts of methods for tracking people.
And that's also another reason, it's kind of off topic, but why, like, you know, serial killers and how it's harder to get away from crimes, just because it is, I mean, the government is so good at finding the tiniest bit of information, being able to track you down.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as we're alluding to, disappearing completely is not something easy and not something you just wing on a few days prepping or instantaneous decision. You can't just fake your own death or just randomly start driving away. There's not really any, sometimes you'll see in like TV or movies, you know, buying false papers or a new driver's license from some Eastern European guy in a dark alley or shady bar, but that really doesn't happen in real life.
Right.
You know, you're not going to just decide to leave and then you're able to live out your new life in the tropics or that big city you always dreamed of.
And this has been a subject of several movies in recent time. The first one that comes to mind for me is Gone Girl with Ben Affleck. And, you know, minor spoiler alert, this information actually comes out in like the first half of the movie. So if you haven't seen the movie, don't listen. But here we go. It's definitely not the climax of the movie, but basically the wife frames her husband as her murderer. And then things just kind of get super blown out of proportion from there. And it's really a good movie, but definitely opened up my eyes to the possibility of disappearing and, you know, like framing my worst enemy to make it look like they murdered me or something like that.
Yeah, I'm almost wondering if that inspired like a copycat or if it's somehow influenced by something that happened in real life. Because I mean, it does seem like it's something that could happen under, you know, the right circumstances.
Yeah.
All right, so as we've mentioned, we've discussed mysteries before that have to do with this, so we're going to bring up a couple example cases in which this kind of idea kind of plays into fact. And the first one is going to be about the disappearance of Brian Schaefer. Now, Brian was a medical student who was out with some friends on March 31st, the year 2006. And so he was a student at The Ohio State University, and classes had just ended for spring break, and he was out with some friends. And later into the night, he and a few friends went to a bar called the Ugly Tuna Saluna. Kind of like that name.
Sounds pretty sketchy.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like a place where people disappear all the time.
Yeah.
What do we know? Anyway, they were getting some shots and having a good time, but at some point late into the night, Brian separated from his friends and didn't come back. And, you know, they tried calling and texting him, but got no answer. So they just assumed that he had left for the night. But as it would turn out, that would be the last time that they would actually see him. So during the search for Brian afterwards, the police looked at the surveillance footage, and it showed Brian talking to two young ladies just a few minutes before the bar would close. And then on the footage, you can see him say goodbye to the girls, and he turns around and walks back, assumably in the direction of the bar. But then later, the footage does not show him leaving the bar, nor did anyone really remember seeing him while the bar was closing. What makes that strange is really the bar only had that one main entrance. The only other exit was a service entrance that was supposedly pretty troublesome to navigate. And have been pretty, what people said have been pretty impossible for someone as wasted as he was to get it, you know, walk through. Now, this case of Brian Schaefer, it made national news for just how bizarre this whole sequence was. And the fact that I just seen Brian just seemed to vanish into thin air. I mean, you know, he's on security footage 1 minute, and then a few minutes later, he's just nowhere to be found at all. And, you know, there have been numerous theories, a lot involving, you know, foul play, some question some one of his friends whether he's involved with his death or disappearance. Some think that's another strike of the mysterious smiley face killer. But there are also different theories that many people think that Brian just simply somehow walked away. He just left his life behind him. And basically this theory goes that he either managed to duck out of the bar just out of range of the security footage so the camera didn't find him, or he had planned this and had a separate stash of clothes and maybe a hat inside that he quickly changed into before walking out so the cameras wouldn't pick up what he was looking like. And, I mean, as for why he would possibly run away, some people have speculated that there are a few possibilities. His mother had just recently died, and that really made him sad, and he was also stressing out about pulling multiple all-nighters preparing for his exams. So some thought that maybe he just wanted to take a break from all these recent stresses in his life and just leave it all behind. But, you know, about a decade later, we still don't have really any solid leads onto what exactly happened to Brian after that night.
So I don't want to get too much into the discussion. I think we'll talk about a few stories and then get into the details later, but the first thing that comes to mind for me is how could someone so totally trashed manage to escape undetected and then pull off such a stunt like this? However, you know, if it was entirely premeditated, like we talked about earlier, he could easily have been bluffing his intoxication and, you know, like secretly dumping shots in the trash or even on the floor. And it's really not terribly unbelievable to even think that an educated guy like this who had, you know, planned this very intensively and meticulously, had like a rubber bladder with a catheter up his sleeve or something to, like, you know, slip the alcohol into somehow. And it would actually be the perfect cover if you think about it, because, you know, you're making a scene, everybody sees you supposedly drinking, and then you stumble off into the darkness. All someone would have to do is to investigate the area a week or two beforehand so that they know when to make an appearance in front of a particular camera, and then pretend to stumble off into the darkness and just like dive over a fence where you have your escape supplies and your money stashed. So, although, you know, I don't know why someone would go to the trouble of finishing their classes and taking all these tests, if they truly didn't care, it would probably reflect in their grades. That is, again, of course, unless they were meticulously covering their trail intentionally.
Yeah, I would like to know what his grades were on those exams.
I think it would be very revealing.
Yeah, because I mean, if he like obviously failed them or something, after all he was stressing about, that might say that maybe he wasn't as serious as everyone thought he was.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, if he aced them, unless he, I mean, as we were going again, like where he had planned this, where he's setting that up, so he's like, you know, if I ace my exams, no one's going to think that I bailed right after putting into so much hard work.
Right.
But who knows? Well, like I said, this is one of these cases where we're going to speculate for hours, and it's really interesting, but, I mean, we still have basically no evidence or ideas what happened to him.
Right. So the next case is Maura Murray, and this is one of the most popular mysteries of the last couple years. Thousands of people have been following the disappearance of Miss Murray on numerous blogs and podcasts surrounding this very strange case. So on the night of February 9th, 2004, 21-year-old Maura crashed her car on a rural stretch of road on Route 112. A few neighbors looked out and saw the crash. Another person, a school bus driver, stopped at the scene and noticed the girl shaking from the cold. He offered her to call for help, but she said she did not want him to call the police. She also declined his offer for a ride. After leaving her, he returned home and called the police. A short while later, a police officer arrived on scene, only to find the car abandoned. So Maura Murray was no longer there, and she would never be seen again. Now, obviously, there's a lot more to it than that, as there is absolutely tons of material online you can find about this case, if it interests you. So just as with any good mystery, there are a couple of good theories, such as, you know, possibly she ran off and died from the cold elements in the woods, or if you suspect foul play, perhaps someone came along and abducted her. But there is also another popular theory, and that is that Maura ran away herself and is living a new life under some other identity. So due to a few strange preparations and trouble going on in her life, many speculate she set up this event as an opportunity to slip away from her old life and disappear forever. Whether that is true or not is obviously up to much debate. But in the decades since her disappearance, there have been many supposed sightings of the popular missing woman.
Yeah, as you said, this is one of the more popular mysteries, and we've had a few people suggest it, but I don't know. I think this is pretty much covered by every mystery podcast and blog out there, so there's already tons and tons of material on it.
Right.
And, I mean, you get people who are just really convinced of one theory or other. Some people have thought that, you know, her body's lying in the woods somewhere undiscovered. Others thought that she had, like, a partner. Others think she was kidnapped. And then, like we said, other people think that she set this all up to just disappear herself because she had a lot of bad things and going on in her life. So some people thought she just wanted to bail from it all, which is definitely a possibility. But once again, it's a mystery that we do not know. However, we have another example that we're going to share. And this one is different than the first two in that we know exactly what happened. And this case is going to be one of the driving points of our discussion later on. So this is about Nayla Kidd. And Nayla was a 19-year-old young lady going to Columbia University. And it was near the end of her sophomore year. And Nayla had missed out on her finals and had not been seen in quite some days. So after a little while, her not seeing her, friends and family haven't been able to contact her. An investigation started, and theories and rumors are already flying around of what happened to Nayla. Some people said she was kidnapped or murdered somewhere in the city. But as it turned out, though, Nayla was in no trouble or danger whatsoever, but had just simply ran away to start a new life. According to her, the stress of school and the fact that she was living a life doing something she didn't really enjoy was just too much for her. So after a short period of careful preparations, she started a plan. So Nayla suddenly moved out of her apartment she was sharing with fellow students and moved into another one. She threw away her phone and bought a prepaid cell phone. She emptied her bank account and moved her money to a separate new one that no one knew about. She deleted all her Facebook and social media stuff and just completely cut ties with everyone in her old life. However, her little experiment of a new life lasted about 2 weeks before the police showed up at her door and led her back home. So some people have glorified her so-called escape and kind of admire the way that she just left her crappy, boring, and life behind her and started a new one. I'm sure a lot of people have kind of thought about that. And Nayla had said, "I had been waking up every day for months with a feeling of dread and doom. I couldn't keep putting my all into something I care nothing about. I finally broke down because I was living a life I thought I should be living instead of the living life I want." With all that said, there are others who aren't quite so admirable of her actions. Many have called her selfish and irresponsible, just disappearing like that, abandoning her family and friends to worry about her for 2 weeks. So, Eric, I don't know what you think about this. Personally, I kind of agree with this point of view.
I kind of tend to agree. I mean, it seems like kind of a childish, rash decision. It's like, oh, I'm a teenager and my life sucks right now, so I'm just gonna give up and start a new life. And oh, not only that, I'm gonna do a crappy job of it and the police are gonna show up at my front door in 2 weeks and take me back home. It's kind of pathetic, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, what college student isn't sure that they're doing exactly what they want, or, you know,
right.
Who doesn't want to study for finals? You know, everyone just puts up with this.
Only thing that surprised me is that she didn't come, like, crawling back to her family and friends like the prodigal son.
Yeah. Well, given time, she might have done that. Who knows?
Yeah. Give her a few more days.
Yeah. I mean, just the problem I have with this is that, you know, she wasn't abused or, you know, suffering terribly, or she wasn't living a terrible life. I mean, basically, from what I can gather, she just didn't like her classes or her major, and she didn't feel like waking up and studying for finals. Nayla had said that she finally felt alive during her mini vacation from her life for the first time. But I mean, just from what I can gather, what she said, she basically just spent the week or so, you know, talking to her new roommates, walking around her neighborhood, going to different coffee shops and restaurants. I mean, it's not exactly a new life. You know, she didn't get a job, she didn't start a new hobby or skill. She just slacked off and hid away from her finals until the police showed up. So, I mean, I can see the appeal in some cases of wanting to just disappear, but in this case, I just think that she was just a selfish college girl who wanted to make a scene or get some attention.
I imagine the novelty of this new life would have worn off as soon as she went to those coffee shops for the third or fourth time and got tired of her roommates. It would have worn off very quickly.
Yeah.
So, the final case we're going to talk about tonight is an equally unsuccessful yet somewhat more devastating case of a attempted pseudocide of an individual known as John Darwin. Now, this particular individual had a ton of credit card debt weighing down on him, as many Americans do. So instead of dealing with his problems, he just decided to fake his own death in a canoeing accident. So in 2002, he decided to disappear and fake his own drowning. Shortly thereafter, he had a red canoe that was found, washed up on shore, and everybody assumed naturally that he was dead. Unfortunately, the reality of the situation was that after a couple weeks, he had moved back home to live in an annex portion of his home with his wife, who was actually in on it. So she collected $50,000 in life insurance, and they actually had their mortgage paid off completely. So as the story goes, he would hide whenever his sons would come to visit their mom. And after several years, he decided he didn't want to be lost anymore, and he actually wanted to see his sons again. So he walked into a police station, faking amnesia, and claiming that he didn't remember any of the last 5 years of his life. And unfortunately, his plan quickly unraveled. And both of them, John and his wife, were sentenced to 6 years in jail.
Yeah, it's just stupid.
Yeah,
it is. The whole plan is stupid.
It's retarded.
It reminds me of like the It's Always Sunny episode where Mac and Charlie try to fake their death by trying to blow up a car. It's like, here, I'm gonna put this canoe. Everyone's gonna think I'm drowned, and then I'm gonna go back exactly where I was and just live in an attic or something.
Right. It's pretty pathetic, honestly. A lot of these things are. But, you know, at the same time, it raises some interesting points. I mean, there has to be some significant psychological strain of not living your normal life and having to hide and permanently remove yourself from all your friends and family.
Yeah, I mean, unless you are a recluse or something, or you just don't like to be around people. If you're a normal social person, you know, what kind of life is that to hide from everyone you know, even your own family?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so we've gotten a few examples of cases where people might have disappeared and a few failed examples of people who tried to but didn't quite make it. So we're just kind of go over some general discussions of how and why would people try to disappear completely or just completely fall off the grid so no one would be able to find them. So some of the main reasons that we could think of is one would be just, you know, either boredom or hatred of your current life. So, you know, maybe you're stuck in an unloving family, maybe your either parents don't love you, or you have a bunch of kids who treat you like crap, or, you know, maybe you have a bad job or something, or just everything's just going wrong with your life, it seems.
I mean, if you're a single adult with no responsibilities outside of your day job and paying your rent, then, you know, fine, whatever, go for it. You don't have, like, children depending on you, you don't have a wife. Go for it. See what happens. You'll probably screw it up and get in trouble, whether you're faking your death or just faking a or just disappearing. But, you know, I could see that as being a possibility for somebody who just is bored of their life and wants to mix it up a little bit.
Right. I mean, like I said, I think everyone's kind of had the, I don't know about the dream or just the thought of just, you know, getting in your car and just driving away at some point in your life, you know, if you're in a down period, everything's going wrong, you're like, you know, why don't I just leave this all behind? But most people kind of get over that, but some people don't. So another big reason, and just like John Darwin, one of the big reasons to just try to disappear is debt. Now, as we said, you know, a lot of people are in credit card debt or have a lot of loans to pay back. So if you are in a position where, or maybe in medical bills, you know, you find yourself in a position where you owe tens of thousands or if not hundreds of thousands and no way to pay it back. Maybe you just want to leave and just hope they forget about you.
Yeah, it's the American way to be in debt, honestly. And it's so easy. I mean, credit card companies set you up for it, basically. Yeah. And
well, just the way they hand out credit cards like at colleges, you know, to incoming freshmen. It's like right off the bat, they're trying to screw you over.
Oh my gosh, I know. And people fall for it. It's kind of sad, you know, but I mean, that's just a way of life in America. Unfortunately, people think they deserve to live outside their means and drive fancy cars, and that's what happens. You screw your life up. Don't get into debt, except good debt, like a mortgage.
Yeah, exactly. Financial 101 from Eric.
Yes.
All right, so another reason is kind of obvious, is you just committed a crime. So, you know, you accidentally killed somebody, or you've been stealing stuff, or you're cooking meth, or what have you, and you feel like Johnny Law is going to be knocking at your door any time, and you got the itch that, you know, now it's time to just make your escape.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is, you know, a common plot for a lot of movies. In the movies and in real life, you know, criminals always flee to Mexico or somewhere like Alaska to escape the law, basically where they can go live off the land or just leave the country altogether.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much, I mean, how many times have you heard in TV or movies like, oh, they're heading for Mexico, we have to get them before they get across the border.
Exactly. And, you know, I think if I was going to commit a crime, I would want it to be one that was intentional, you know, because I wouldn't want to, like, you know, accidentally kill somebody for more than one reason. But I wouldn't want to accidentally kill somebody and then have to flee the country on a spur-of-the-moment decision. I would want to, you know, like, rob a bank. I've been planning this for, like, 2 years. I've got everything lined up. Everything's in place. It's perfect. I know what the weather's going to be, you know, when I rob this bank. And then a moment later, I'm going to be on a plane to Mexico or something.
Yeah.
That's how I would do it.
All right. Darker side of Eric's coming out. Oh, so just like another example for our good friend Johnny Darwin is some people like to fake their own death. You know, maybe they're trying to get their that insurance payout, or you know, like I said, they're in debt and they're trying to get rid of it, but one way or another they come up with a way to fake their own death. Hopefully it's smarter than just leaving a canoe by the river and hoping people think you drowned, but I guess there's a lot of ways that you could fake your own death. Perhaps you are a victim of abuse of some kind, and you're just, you know, you feel like you can't get out of a relationship, and you feel the only way to escape is really just disappearing forever.
Yeah, or to reference one of our recent episodes, you know, perhaps you're trying to escape the clutches of an evil cult or even a gang. You know, some of these street gangs are pretty hardcore, and once you're in them for life. And if you decide you want out, you gotta head for the hills, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the mafia, you know, if you turn on them, you have to go into witness protection because if you just try skipping town, they're going to find you. So you better figure out a way that, you know, there's nothing linking you to your old life.
Right. And you know, the bottom line is if you've got a good reason and you're so inclined to try and pull something like this off, it's not entirely difficult, at least to get started. I mean, perhaps to carry out the plan effectively, you've got to be somewhat educated and be smart about it. But you know, I mean, you can go on Google and search a how-to that will walk you through the situation step by step and kind of give you some stuff to look out for. So, I mean, the information's out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of what we're going to be doing in the next couple of minutes is giving a little disappearance 101 or something.
Yeah.
A little intro course.
So let's talk a little bit about the how-to while we've got the subject brought up. So I think step number one is primarily psychological. You have to commit to it 100%. You can't be flip-flopping. You can't be, you know, a limp noodle about it. You got to commit to this 100% because faking a death is illegal pretty much everywhere. And, you know, disappearing might not be illegal in some cases, but there's still a lot of implications. And it's not something where you want to just do it on a whim because you can't really come back from it once you're on the news. You know, plus you won't be able to ever talk to your friends or family ever again. So you've really got to be committed to this and have thought about all the ins and outs.
Yeah, it's one of those things you need to have. I mean, I guess if you're dedicated to it, you know, give it like a month or a 2 month deadline. You'd be like, you know, if I still want to do it then I'll do it. But, you know, I mean, some people go through big emotional changes in 2 or 3 days. So, yeah, it's not something you just want to think about in a day, then, you know, pack your car up and just head out. All right. So, I mean, one of the things that we've kind of alluded to is the legal ramifications. So, I mean, obviously, if you just, you know, drive away and you might think, oh, I can't get in trouble for it, well, you actually can. Because, I mean, you can get forced to having to pay back, you know, police agencies or basically anyone who's charged of your search and rescue. I mean, if they're looking at you for weeks, you know, especially if they're, you know, combing through woods or dredging rivers or something, you know, that costs a lot of money. So you can't really just pull something like that off and not be responsible for the finances behind it.
Yeah, and like I said, once you're on the news, not only are there going to be legal ramifications, but it's just going to be generally embarrassing.
Yeah, it's like if you set up your own disappearance or something and then you're found out to be a fraud, you know, you're gonna be like that balloon kid or something. Everyone's gonna hate you and think you're a joke.
Yeah.
And or if you're, you know, like we said, if you have debt and you try to escape from that, obviously that's against the law and you can be charged with fraud and you'll be spending your, you know, next couple of years in jail instead of living a life somewhere else. And also, I mean, faking your death, obviously it's illegal. You can't really just do that.
Right. And you know, there's different ways to do it. Faking your death. You could fake a suicide. So you could create a scenario where it appears that you killed yourself. This is known as a pseudocide. Or you could even frame it as a murder. So you could, you know, make it look like somebody else killed you, whether it's an unknown killer or you're framing a particular individual. I think there's implications for both of them, but I think trying to frame a particular individual is by far the most complex scenario we could come up with in this topic.
Yeah, because that's like a double whammy, because not only are you trying to get away and start a new life, but you're also trying to royally screw over someone from your old life.
Right, and somebody who can actively investigate the situation and defend themselves. So if you screw that up, then you're in big trouble.
One of the big kind of tips that a lot of people suggest to kind of give advice for this kind of situation is that you really have to do this alone. You know, if you're in an abusive relationship and you want to try to take your kids, you know, away from a husband or a wife, you know, that just increases the chances of being discovered. And, I mean, not only that, but then you could be slapped with kidnapping charges as well.
Yeah, you know, if you're thinking about doing this with your kids, then I don't know what kind of scenario some people could be in. I mean, if you're in an abusive relationship, that's one thing, but there are other ways to deal with your problems in that situation. I think, not having ever been abused by a female myself, but you know, if you're thinking about doing this with your kids and you don't have a good reason for it, you just kind of got a problem. Like if you're trying to escape boredom in your life or financial problems, you just got to get your stuff together. Don't pull your kids into it with you.
I was going to say, because then you have the potential of, you know, ruining their lives. You're basically forcing them to leave all their friends and basically right. Everything behind them. So,
and they're going to have to come up with a false identity of some sort as well. And they'll never be able to own a car. They'll not be able to work a real job and pay taxes. You know, health insurance would be a huge problem. All these kind of things that you just need to have an identity for. It needs to be a real identity because the government asks a lot of questions. A lot of questions about your past and stuff. And, you know, you don't want to screw that up for your own kids.
And speaking of that, if you do it, you want to do it successfully, you really can't tell anyone about it. You know, you can't really tell others what you're doing. I mean, obviously, the more people you tell, the more chances that your secret will get out. So really the only probably 100% way of having nobody leak your, you know, secret or where you're at is just having no contact at all, you know, the moment you disappear. But then at the same time, you know, people will feel the yearning to, you know, call their mom on Mother's Day or whatever. But if you just completely cut off contact with your family and friends, that could lead to loneliness and kind of just ruin your life.
I'd see it, especially these days, as a huge problem for people because, you know, these days we have social media. You'd never be able to get on your Facebook account again. And most people can't go a few hours without getting on Facebook. You know, you wouldn't be able to use your cell phone contacts, anything like that. And we're just so interconnected as a community these days. It'd be really difficult for people to give that up.
So there's a couple ways one could go about doing that. One way seems kind of popular in movies and TV shows is, you know, paying some shady guy or stealing from somebody, you know, their social security number or their identity. So, I mean, this to me seems like this could possibly work, but it seems more like a short-term solution. Doesn't really seem like in the long term if you're using a stolen identity or social security number for years and years. I just think the greater chances are that you're going to be caught eventually.
Yeah, and the more stuff you do with that fake identity, the more chances there are for things to fall through.
Exactly. I even have my dad used to work in construction and real estate when I was a kid. I remember him telling stories how he had a few illegal immigrant workers in the company or whatever. And this actually happened to them, that some of them got caught with, you know, either social security numbers from someone who was still living. And obviously that caused problems, or someone who was dead and it was found out. And, you know, obviously they're going to get in big legal trouble and probably get deported or something. But, I mean, one way or another, if you try to do this, eventually you're going to get caught. I mean, the worst case scenario is you assume the identity of someone who's like a former murderer or something, or someone who's wanted. And then basically you're going to take the fall for their crimes, possibly. And not to mention if you are actually have false documentation in the first place, that is a felony. So, you know, if you buy a stolen ID card and think it's all legit, then you get caught, and the next thing you know, you're not living your new life, but rather a different life as Prison Block C's newest toy. So,
oh boy, oh boy.
Oh boy.
Bend over and pick up that soap, boy.
Yeah, you don't want to be hearing that, so. So do not buy or steal someone else's identity. That's not going to work. So instead of that, there's a couple different ways you can create a new identity. Probably one of the biggest new traits that you're going to develop when you disappear is you need to know how to lie. So basically, you're going to have to learn to lie very well. I mean, basically, you have to just create an entirely new backstory or life for yourself. You can't bring up or mention anything regarding your former life because that might give stuff away. So you have to kind of in your head before this all happens, basically just write yourself a new life up to your point.
Right. And this is the kind of place where a lot of people make mistakes because the story has to be 100% consistent or at least, completely vague. But I think, the best way to keep your story 100% consistent is to make as much of it truth as possible. That way, things will line up and then just leave pertinent details out and be kind of vague in those areas. You'll kind of always, in your new life, you'll always be that mysterious person that never lets anyone into their life. And you're never really going to be able to do anything without an identity, if you're going that route. And, you'll kind of have to like work under the table and move around a lot from place to place, just kind of working odd jobs here and there.
Yeah, it's probably something a lot of people don't really think about is, if you just leave and you're trying to create a whole new identity, you can't exactly just go to a bank or anything or start a savings account. It's hard to get a legit job because you can't really show correct identification. So, I mean, it's just like you said, you're basically just living for cash only, working, and then just basically lying to everyone you talk to. All right, so we've talked about a few reasons or possibilities. So let's talk about the actual moment when you decide to make yourself disappear. So there's a few different ways you can do it. Probably the best way is just to slink away quickly and quietly. Like we discussed in the Brian Schaefer disappearance of, he was at a bar and then he was there 1 minute and then the next he was just gone and no one knows where he was. So this is probably the best way to get away with it. It's just you prepare yourself and then you just leave at a certain point and you don't leave any traces and just no one knows exactly where you are.
I think the key here is to paint an image to people investigating this that makes them say it's impossible for him to have staged his own disappearance. Kind of like Brian Schaefer. He
Yeah.
was wasted, And
Supposedly.
exactly. People just assume he was drunk.
Yeah, and the whole thing with the finals, like we said before, but I mean, for all we knew, he was planning this and he was either dumping his shots or he was throwing it over his shoulder instead of his mouth and then just stumbled away and then started his new life. So, I mean, if that happened, it worked out pretty successfully for Brian. On the other hand, you have other people who want to be a little more dramatic and, kind of stage an elaborate act, or at least leave after a memorable event. And that kind of happens with the Mara Murray case, and that she had the car crash going on and people saw her, and then she just kind of disappeared. But I mean, the way that she did disappear has raised so many questions over, more than a decade. All these years later, thousands of people are still obsessed with this case, they're still looking through the mysteries, looking for any clues, still trying to find her. There's still people taking pictures of women who look like her and be like, hey, I found her. So, I mean, it kind of seems like this thing would be if your ego or your just desire to be remembered in a memorable way is making you want to stage a big scene. And if that's the case, your chances of staying hidden probably decrease pretty drastically.
Yeah, definitely. It's really kind of opposite ends of the spectrum. If you want to go out in a big way that people are going to remember versus how bad you really just want to disappear. And anyone that's egotistical enough to want to make a big scene is likely going to have trouble living the simple life anyways. Because remember, it's not like you're going to start over and be able to become a celebrity. And people ask questions. The government asks a lot of questions. You're probably going to be a nobody for the rest of your life anyways, so you'd better have a good reason for it.
All right, so we've talked about reasons and possibilities, and the suggestion that Julian sent us. They're asking, basically, hey, what are some how-tos? How could you get away with this? What should you do? So we have a few pointers or things that we came up with that I think would make for a pretty good case of how you could make yourself just disappear. So one thing you could do, I think, is legally change your name. So I mean, obviously, if you do this, you would still be records of you, the government could find you, but it might be harder for, if you're just trying to leave some family or friends behind and you're trying to move away and not be known as yourself, I think that'd be a good step to, still legally try to disappear and change who you are.
One of multiple options. You're gonna have to change your number and switch to like a prepaid phone, or you're gonna have to like throw away your old cell phone. You're just gonna have to leave it, honestly, because that's gonna make it look more legitimate, like you just disappeared, as opposed to getting destroyed or thrown away or something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you pretty much just have to dump your cell phone, because I mean they can track that, if you just happen to even turn it on. So that's why another thing you'll see in a lot of spy movies is, they'll talk on the phone for 30 seconds and then dump it in a trash can or something. So
Right.
basically that's the way to go. No cell phones, it's all pretty much prepaid. Another way is obviously change the way you look. You can change your appearance. You can have a new haircut. You can dye your hair a different color. You can, grow a beard, or if you have a beard, you can shave it off. Maybe just wear completely different clothes. If you're a slob, start wearing like, preppy clothing or something.
And the next question in kind of is, where are you going to move? And I think in this situation, the best thing to do is to probably leave the country is going to be the best way to do it because, leaving the country, people are going to ask probably less questions. And it would probably be best to move to a crowded city of some sort outside of the country in which you can just blend in with the crowds. Or, on the other hand, like a lot of people do is they move to Alaska where they can just live in isolation and kind of live off the land if you're capable of doing that.
Yeah, just like a small town where, they're not really connected. Maybe there's probably not much, law enforcement there or something. So yeah, I'd see that just moving out to the boonies or something. Just
The thing about small towns though is everybody knows everybody and people are going to ask questions. So,
that's
I mean,
true. That's
if you're prepared to deal with the questions and you've got your story lined up, then that's a possibility.
another thing you can do, especially in this modern age, is just delete all social media. Just completely deactivate your Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, basically anything online that you use that you have an account for, just delete it all.
I mean, if you delete it, you need to do it way, way in advance of before you fake your disappearance or death or whatever. Because if they're investigating you and they find out, oh, the day before he disappeared or the week before he disappeared, he deleted all of his social media, then that's probably going to raise some red flags.
You could tell people that, maybe if you're in college or something, say just too much of a distraction, or you want to need a break from some drama on social media. So maybe just something to tell people before you go why you're doing it, so it doesn't really raise as many questions later on. One tip is to abandon your car. A few clever ways to do this. I mean, you can make it look like an accident and perhaps make it look like you wandered off into the woods and maybe died there, like one of the theories with Mara Murray. Or you could make it kind of look like a carjacking, maybe park in a bad area, smash the windows so it looks like someone stole it, or maybe someone kidnapped you.
Yeah, I think the best thing to do in this sort of scenario would be to drive out into the middle of nowhere and make it look like A, you either wrecked your car or ran out of gas or had a flat tire and tried to make it back on foot and got lost. But in reality, you have a map or something, not like a GPS that they could track you with satellites, but like a map and you
Right.
find your way to safety and to a hidden vehicle of some sort and make your escape.
Yeah, I mean, or if you're really into, prepping at all, you could plan your route out beforehand, put supplies there. So,
Exactly.
like you said, you run out of gas deep in the woods in some small little road, but that's exactly where you planned on it. So you walk a few miles down and you find a backpack that you planted there a few days ago, and basically you're good to go.
That's probably honestly how I would do it.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like a good idea. I was reading something along this case of a guy who, same thing, his car got stopped in the middle of the woods, and he was like an experienced outdoorsman, and he basically only had a few miles of woods to go through, and he almost died there. So, I mean, someone that experienced could, almost died. Who's to say some just random person leaving their car, if it's storming or if it's freezing cold winter. A lot of people might just assume that your body is decaying out in the woods somewhere. Pretty good way to fake your own death and not make it look like your fault. Another really big thing that you have to remember is that you're not going to be able to use your credit cards, your bank cards. So basically, if you want to disappear, go off the grid, start a new life, you're gonna have to pretty much be forced to use cash only. I mean, you got to shred your credit cards, just throw them away, because if you have any type of that on you, perhaps someone finds it or uses it, that's basically just gonna alert, either the bank or whatever agencies are looking for you that you're still alive, or at least the location where your cards was last used.
And you're not gonna have, be able to have like with your new identity, you're not gonna be able to have a bank account or anything anyway. So it's pretty much really is just cash from here on out.
I mean, that's probably how you're going to be paid because, like we mentioned before,
Yeah.
it's going to be hard to get, a good job if you don't really have any papers to prove who you are. So you're probably just getting paid under the table in cash.
And then I guess in terms of, getting around at some point, either you're going to have, I mean, you'll probably have an escape vehicle of some sort, something that doesn't have any real ties to society. So maybe like a beat up old truck or a car or something. You'd have to leave the license plates on it so you don't get pulled over. But once you ditch that, you're pretty much just going to have to stick to like public transportation or bicycles. So anything that doesn't require you have a driver's license, because obviously you won't have a driver's license. So, and then the other thing is if you get pulled over without a valid license, you can pretty much guarantee that your secret life is going to come to an end.
Yeah, unless you can either flirt or bribe your way out of it.
Ooh, I'd be able to flirt my way out of it. But I mean, I think the only time that it would be a good idea to actually drive a vehicle is when you're first making your escape.
Just put
Because,
some distance
right,
behind you.
yeah, and if you do, for whatever reason, if you're being stupid and you get pulled over, then you can just say, oh, yeah, I wrecked my car, found this one, and was trying to make my way back to society or something like that.
Yeah, so at least you have a more plausible explanation if you do get pulled over or something.
Right, you'd probably be able to weasel your way out of that one without you're not deep enough in it to really totally screw up your life.
So with all that said, most of all, probably the most important thing you can do is having a long-term plan and just thinking this through all the way. I mean, there's really no use in just going through everything we just said, following it through, you get away and start your new life. And then all of a sudden you find that you run out of cash, or you didn't think of a way to sustain your new life. And basically that would either force you to be homeless or, go crawling back to your old home and hope everyone forgives you.
Not likely.
Yeah, not likely.
Don't count on that.
Especially if they thought you were dead or something.
Yeah.
Yeah,
That would just be embarrassing worse than anything. So I guess the bottom line is don't do anything like this ever.
Unless you're in debt.
Then do it.
Do it.
So that wraps up this episode of the Strange Matters podcast. If you would like to send your feedback, questions, ideas, suggestions, or if you know someone or you yourself has tried to make an escape of this sort, please feel free to email us at strangematterspodcast@gmail.com. And be sure to check out our website where you can comment on our posts, strangematterspodcast.com. And Strange Matters is sponsored and supported by you, the listeners, through our Patreon page. On Patreon, you can pledge as little as $1 a month, and in return, you can suggest ideas and help us decide what topics we should focus on in the coming episodes. You can also get the chance to listen to bonus episodes every month that will be exclusive just for our members on Patreon. So for our first month on Patreon, we will be releasing our bonus episode to all supporters. So even if you just pledge $1, you will get the chance to listen to our exclusive episode coming out in August.
So for those interested in helping our podcast grow and improve, you can visit our page at patreon.com/strangematters, or just visit our website and click on the Support Us page. So for now, we would like to thank Heather for becoming our newest supporter, so thank you, Heather. Also, we'll ask if you're listening to us on iTunes, please leave us a rating review. It means a lot to us to be able to see your feedback, and it also helps promote the show so we can gain new listeners. Also, if you're looking for other similar podcasts to ours to listen to, please check out darkmyths.org. There's a lot of different podcasts there with genres ranging from mystery and crime, paranormal, pretty much everything you could want. So check out darkmyths.org. See ya.